This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello again, Villa Voice Noters. Friends, family, regular Clarence Brew followers will know that I'm well and truly stuck in the 90s. Music, films, football, TV shows. My favourite era of popular culture goes back further than my hairline. So it's a source of pride that my impressionable teenage son is also following suit and seeing little glimmers of gold from the 90s. He passed me his AirPods the other day and it was quite literally music to my ears to discover that he was playing Pulp, Different Class. And the fact that he does show a passing interest in that particular decade just shows that I'm winning at parenting. The only issue is his love of things retro that he's inherited from his old man is starting to give me a bit of a dilemma. He can't keep his grubby hands off my old Villa tops. So since they've been bought back from my mum and dad's house and found their way into my wardrobe, he's always begging, stealing and borrowing. I don't mind it in the sense that they suit him and they fit him more than they've ever suited me and more than they will ever fit me again. And I was kind of hoping, and it sounds a bit morbid this, that when I eventually shuffle off this planet, I could leave them to him in my will. Because without those, I'm not really sure I've got that much to leave him. I'm not sure I really want a pile of Shropshire Stars from when I covered Shrewsbury Town or all the back issues of the Kidderminster Shuttle from when I was writing about Kidderminster Harriers. So I keep saying to him, listen, that's your inheritance, mate. So if you want them now, that's fine. But you're going to be left with nothing to soften the blow when I eventually leave you. He's like, yeah, I'll have them now, Dad. It breaks my heart when I see precious heirlooms that should be in a frame or a safe, discarded on its floor amidst the crisp packets, dirty plates, and all the other kind of crap that you associate with a filthy teenage child. Having said that, he's a good lad, and I want to tell the story of our day out at West Ham at the weekend. So we managed to blag ourselves into the posh seats, courtesy of West Ham sponsor Betway. We rocked up at West Ham. It's my first ever visit to London Stadium. I was lucky enough to go to Upton Park a couple of times as a reporter, but not made it there before. I know there's a lot of people who diss the London Stadium for a lack of atmosphere, and I think the Villa fans were getting stuck into the West Ham fans in terms of some of the banter or the chants that they were shouting about the ground. But it was a nice lounge where they put us. The dress code was probably a little bit more laid back than you can sometimes get in hospitality suites. Away colours are frowned upon, which is just as well the Hammers playing claret and blue then. For the actual match, myself and my boy were located slap bang in the middle of the West Ham fans, so we had to be on our best behaviour throughout. It was interesting witnessing my son when Zaniolo scored that equaliser. I think his words to me were, Dad, I've just got a head rush. He's had such an adrenaline boost, but trying to keep his body language neutral or even disappointed in the presence of all the home fans. To be fair, he did it quite well. I think he did quite well to contain himself. If only Nicolo himself was capable of such restraint, eh? It wasn't really until towards the very end of the game when there was that long delay for the disallowed goal that it started to feel a bit moody. You could see the contorted faces, and then all of a sudden the people you were sitting alongside who seemed to be nice, friendly people looked like they just wandered out of a cross between Football Factory and Green Street. I'm exaggerating a bit, really. I'm probably using a bit of artistic license. But yeah, you could feel the frustration. It was palpable there. And me and my lad were just trying to do very little to draw attention to ourselves while we're keeping our fingers crossed that justice would be done and the right decision would prevail. Just on that long delay, obviously, from a Villa fan point of view, we're glad that the officials took long enough to make the right decision. But I've never seen so much drama involving somebody called Jared. So we've got Jared Gillette, the referee, and Jared Bowen, who's involved in the little bit of a bundle, I suppose, on the goal line for the disallowed goal. I don't think I've seen that much Jared drama since Toadfish arrived on Ramsey Street. That's Jared Rebecca of Neighbours fame I'm referring to there, by the way, if people are wondering what I'm banging on about. I don't get out much. I certainly don't get to many away games. I'm just brimming with respect for the regular away day travellers. It's a good job that last minute goal didn't stand, and that we emerged from that game with what I think could be a very important point, because it was just a nightmare getting home. Getting back from Stratford to back across London was easy enough, but then Euston, I don't know how many other Villa fans travelled through Euston on Sunday night, it was absolute chaos. I think what had happened, there'd been some kind of fault on the line near Euston, so there was a 4 or 5 hour delay, nothing coming into Euston, nothing going out to Euston. And the time was ticking. I was getting frustrated. I was getting knackered. I've got work the following day. My son had got a bit of school the following day. I'm not proud of this Villa voice notice, but I panicked. Yes, I know I'm normally unflappable. I know I'm normally calm in a crisis, but I panicked. I thought, I don't want to be stuck down here, really. I want to go home. Oh, God, me and technology. What I decided to do, knowing that the trains were being delayed and cancelled, and there were more and more people gathering at Euston Station, and the prospects of getting home were receding again, like my hairline, I thought, I know, why don't I travel from Marylebone? Sorry, this is how my mind works. Marylebone. Does anybody else not pronounce it out loud, because we know it's pronounced Marylebone, but does anybody else think Marylebone? Because that's the way it's spelled. Does anybody else think that, or is it just me? I've got this weird thing going on in my head where Marylebone meets Toby Lerone, which is how Toblerone's formed in my head, and they live happily ever after. But that might be the most random segue so far of these shows, and that's saying something. I thought, I know, I'm going to beat the system. While all these lemmings are gathered around Euston, I'm going to go back home from Marylebone. Looked on my phone, managed to get on train line, book tickets. Yep, Marylebone back to Birmingham. Jumped on the tube, got back across, couple of tube changes, got back from Euston to Marylebone. And then I had a real, real sinking moment of realisation when I checked my ticket again. I checked the boards at Marylebone and there was nothing going any further north than Oxford. And I was thinking, where's this Birmingham train? I checked my ticket on my phone, and because I'm a massive idiot, I hadn't booked a train from Marylebone. I'd booked the journey from Marylebone, but that was then taking me back to Euston to get on the train that I was already booked on, that was already supposed to be booked on. Traipsed back across, retraced our footsteps, got back from Marylebone, back on the tube, back to Euston. It was chaos. There were even more people there. They were swarming around like ants. People were getting frustrated. I thought, I can't be doing this. I need to get home. I promised Dan Rowlinson I'll be back so we can record a podcast in the studio tomorrow. That's my duty. So what I did next, I thought, well, if I can't get a train from Euston and I can't get a train from Marylebone, I'll get myself a coach from Victoria, book myself a coach trip as well. By the time I created all these extra journeys on a mission to get home, by my reckoning, it probably cost about 200 quid. Now, for 200 quid, I probably could have paid my own way in the posh seats at West Ham, but it's a very Kendrick thing to do. You know, you've got a nice treat. How can you undermine it? How can it end up leaving you out of pocket? I found the perfect way. Anyway, to cut a really long, rambling, irrelevant story short, we did get on a train. We were packed on there. You know, you see those trains in Mumbai or something when they get them hanging out the doors, or they get them across the top of the roof of the train. It wasn't quite like that, but it did feel like that. It was standing room only. There were families who were hassled. There were kids crying, all that kind of thing. It was a horrible, horrible journey. To make matters worse, there was one bloke, I'm going to call him Greedy, Fat, Selfish Man, who had got a seat. He was sitting on the aisle seat, but the window seat he'd kept free, especially so he could put two or three family-sized bags of crisps that he was helping himself to at regular intervals without a hint of shame. The only little bit of justice that occurred was, well, we got stuck in... Oh, where did we get stuck? Got stuck in Milton Keynes for 15 minutes because the driver needed a rest and there wasn't anybody there to relieve him. And then when we got going, we then stopped again in Northampton, and we had to all get off the train at Northampton and get onto another train. And this was the only highlight of the journey back. Fat, Greedy, Selfish Man had to get up, and by the time he moved across onto the next train, he too had to join the standers. He didn't get a seat. His bags of crisps, which had been devoured by then, didn't get a seat. So, yeah, next time you're selfish, git, move across so that somebody else can can take advantage of that seat and rest their aching feet. Being a consumer champion, I didn't want to just be 200 quid out of pocket or whatever it was. So I've gone back online the following day and I've tried to see how I can get a refund, if I was capable of getting a refund on any of the things that I'd bought. One of the services was completely cancelled. Theoretically, I should have had a refund for me and my son on a £40 ticket. What I was offered was a £5.20 refund minus a £3 admin fee, which left me with £2.20. And to get that £2.20, the onus was on me to post my tickets, proof of travel, not email them, not do a screen grab, not add a code in online, to post my tickets. So to get £2.20 back and to be charged £3 admin fee, I had to do my own admin. So they've got you by the balls, haven't they? So needless to say, I was too lazy to go through all that process. I've put it down as a learning experience. Don't panic. You will get home. Stay calm. After all of that, I'm skint. I'm supposed to be on a date night with Mrs. Kendrick this weekend. It looks like we're going to have to huddle around a pork pie with a candle in it, rather than my original romantic plan of huddling around two pork pies with two candles. If I have half as much fun with the missus on our date night as I did with my boy at West Ham last Sunday, then it should be another decent weekend. Having said all of that, the cost of the travel has helped me settle that replica shirt dilemma that I was banging on about a while ago. Yes, son, you can have them now rather than when I breathe my last breath, but you'll have to buy them off me on eBay. What do you reckon? 200 quid for each shirt? Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Time to finish off with a dad joke. Actually, let's conclude with a son joke this week. My son said to me, "Dad, thank you for teaching me the definition of many. It means a lot. And the fact you all continue to listen to this load of old nonsense means a lot to me. Up the Villa!"